Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel Pesach Ben Chava, Harav Mir Kahana, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, and Yosef Ben Meir. We have two subjects that we want to discuss on this week's program. The first is a new Israeli education ministry program to supposedly study the history of the Mizrahim, of the Jews from Arab and Islamic countries, that's in fact being used as another vehicle to brainwash Jewish students in Israel. We want to discuss that, and we want to discuss how JTF is working to expose the facts on this issue. And the second thing we want to discuss is the fact that Hillary Clinton, by all logic, should be losing this election by a landslide. The issues are against her, everything is against her, and if Ted Cruz had only been the Republican nominee, we could have won. But because you insisted upon nominating this buffoon, this clown, we're going to show you how this past week, once again, Donald Trump, with new issues this past week, every week it's more and more insane controversies, how Donald Trump is making it impossible to defeat Hillary Clinton, and why his candidacy is such a catastrophe, something which we warned you about, something which we told you would happen. But first, we want to talk about what's happening in Israel. The new education minister is Naftali Bennett from the Jewish Home Party, which is a phony right party, a party that claims to be right-wing, but is anything but. I mean, it's really a left-wing party from the old Maftal movement that was always a part of the establishment, a terrible, phony, hypocritical party. Naftali Bennett is the so-called right-wing politician who said 99.9% of the Arab Muslims in Israel are loyal to Israel. 99.9% of the Arab Muslims in Israel are loyal to Israel, even though 95% of them vote for parties that want to destroy Israel in all the Knesset elections. And we could go on and on improving how absurd, how disgusting and obscene the comments of Naftali Bennett really are. He's a complete phony fraud. He triples the budget for gays. He's promoting everything that a religious Jew would have to be against, even though he calls himself, he pretends that he and his party represent religious Jews. They represent nothing of the sort. They're hypocrites and criminals and frauds. And now Naftali Bennett, as education minister, has started a new program to supposedly study the history of the Mizrahim. And unfortunately, many Jews in Israel are falling for it, and they're saying, oh, it's wonderful. Finally, they're giving some attention to the history of nearly half of the Jews in Israel. Nearly half of the Jews of Israel are Mizrahim, are Jews that came from Arab, who lived under Arab and Islamic and third world countries, came to Israel, to the land of Israel, and were immediately discriminated against and persecuted. And their history is never really discussed. Their history is always belittled and contempt is shown for them. Well, Naftali Bennett says, now we're going to start a program where we're finally going to be teaching Jewish students in Israel something about the history of the Mizrahim. And many Jews in Israel are falling for this newest shtick, this newest gimmick. In fact, the most important aspect of the history of the Mizrahim, which should be studied, is how when they came to the land of Israel, the vast majority of them were religious, loyal, good, patriotic Jews. Were good Jews, filled with Jewish pride and emunah and faith and the evil government of David Ben-Gurion and Golda Meir and Chaim Weizmann and all the animals of the socialist left that were ruling Israel. They deliberately took the Torah and Judaism and Jewish tradition away from these very wonderful Jews. Because obviously if they remain religious Jews, then Ben-Gurion and the other socialist scum that were controlling Israel couldn't remain in power. Because they would vote for religious parties, they would vote for right-wing patriotic parties if they remained religious and right-wing and patriotic Jews as they were when they first came to Israel. So a massive campaign was undertaken to brainwash and destroy the souls of these precious Jews, of these Sephardic Jews. Their children were taken and put in anti-religious schools. They were told, the parents said, well, we want our children to learn in yeshivot, we want our children to learn Torah. And they promised it. They promised the parents, yes, of course we're going to teach them Torah. Of course we're going to teach them Judaism. Of course, after all, we're Jews too. The socialist scum that were running Israel promised them. And they took their children and put them in anti-religious schools where day and night they brainwashed them about how silly and primitive and ridiculous the Torah is and the Bible is. And how ridiculous it is to believe in Hashem, to believe in God. Day and night. And they conducted a massive campaign where they threatened these Jews. If your town, they would say, because they segregated them in their own towns and in their own communities, if your town doesn't vote for the Labor Party, for the Socialist Labor Party, your town doesn't vote for it, there'll be no jobs in your town. And they did deny them jobs, unless they voted for the Marxist, socialist, anti-Semitic scum that were running Israel, David Ben-Gurion, Golda Meir, Chaim Weizmann, Yitzhak Rabin, they were all part of that. Unless they voted for them, they wouldn't get any jobs. They'd be starving. And that's what they did. Unfortunately, these Jews didn't know. They were overwhelmed. They were very simple people who came from simple communities. They trusted their fellow Jews. They were frightened by all of this. And most of them gave in. And the end result was that the Torah and the mitzvot and all the precious things that these Jews came to Israel with were ripped away from them. And most of these Jews who were overwhelmingly religious and devoted, good, observant Jews instead became Hellenistic, secular, like most of the other Jews that were in Israel at the time. It was an unbelievable tragedy. It was literally a spiritual holocaust. A spiritual holocaust was perpetrated against the Mizrahi Jews in Israel. It was also perpetrated against the Ashkenazi Jews who were religious. Every attempt was made to take the Torah away from Ashkenazi Jews. They were also discriminated against if they believed in this. But among the Sfaradim or the Mizrahim, they were the vast majority of them were religious. So for them, this was a really big campaign that was conducted to force them to give up Torah and give up Judaism, and literally to force them. I mean, Soviet-style attacks and threats, forcing them. And one of the most notorious examples was when they took 10,000 babies that were born to Yemenite Jewish parents, the wonderful Jews of Teman, HaTemanim, the wonderful Jews of Teman, who came to Israel with their peyot and with such pure and beautiful faith in Torah and Hashem, and they loved and trusted their fellow Jews and were so happy to be in the land of Israel, and felt so blessed that Hashem was giving us a Jewish homeland. And what did they do to these Jews? When they gave birth to babies in the hospital, the doctors and the nurses would take the babies and say, we have to examine the baby. And then they'd come back and tell the parent, the baby died. And the parents would say, but the baby was so healthy. We just had the baby. It was just here. The baby was so healthy. How could that be possible? Baby died. Well, give us the body then. We want to have a funeral. We want to bury the... No, we can't give you the body. It's against hospital procedure. In fact, the baby didn't die. They kidnapped these babies. And they gave them to anti-religious kibbutzim. To communist kibbutzim and anti-religious... Kibbutzim are communes. To anti-religious Marxist kibbutzim and communes. And handed them over to anti-religious beasts. To raise them as anti-religious Jews. As self-hating anti-religious Jews. 10,000 Jewish babies from Yemen. 10,000 Jewish babies from Yemen were kidnapped from their parents and handed over to these anti-religious kibbutzim. What a crime. What a horrific crime. Now, all the things that I'm telling you about, which is the true important history that we should be learning about when we learn about the Mizrahim, about the terrible crimes and injustices that were committed against them, all of that is not part of the curriculum of Naftali Bennett and the Israeli Education Ministry. They're not teaching them about what was done to Mizrahi Jews when they came to Israel, how the Torah was forcibly taken from them, how the government lied and promised that their children would receive religious education and in fact received the worst anti-religious brainwashing, the most anti-Semitic education and brainwashing. They didn't teach them how they were threatened, that they wouldn't get jobs, and they'd starve to death, and they and their families and their children would be starving unless they all voted for the left-wing Labor Party. That they didn't teach them. They didn't teach them about kidnapping 10,000 Jewish babies from Yemen. That they never teach them in this curriculum. They're not teaching them that. That's not part of the curriculum. Instead, they're claiming that the fight for the rights of the Mizrahim were, in fact, they teach them the group that was fighting for the rights of the Mizrahim was the Black Panthers. You heard right, the Black Panthers. They were a group of self-hating Mizrahim. A group, most Mizrahim were right-wing. But they were a group of disgusting, evil, self-hating Mizrahim. Evil, sick, twisted traitors, Yimach Shmam V'Zichram, Shem Reshaim Yirikav, may their names and memories be obliterated, who formed a group called the Black Panthers in the 1970s. And yes, they took the name after the Black Panthers in the United States. The Black Panthers in the United States are an anti-Semitic, vicious, anti-white, racist organization who believe in Nazi Jew hatred, who hate the Jews, who are literally black Nazis. And this group in Israel admired them, and took their name, and they also called themselves the Black Panthers. And this group claimed to be fighting for the rights of the Mizrahim. And they were Marxists. And so, of course, the Israeli left-wing media built them up. They're the representatives of the fight for the rights of the Mizrahim. They're the ones we should be listening to. They're the spokesmen. They built them up as the so-called spokesmen. When, in fact, they represented a very small minority. The vast majority of Mizrahim were right-wing Jews, were good, loyal Jews. The Black Panthers, the so-called Black Panthers in Israel, supported the Arab Nazi enemy, supported the destruction of their own brothers and sisters of their own homeland, their own Jewish homeland, on every issue, complete, vile, self-hating traitors. And they were glorified by the Israeli media, and now they're being glorified. Now they're being glorified in this Israeli education ministry program that Naftali Bennett and Benjamin Netanyahu are introducing to Jewish kids in Israel as supposedly the study of the Israeli Mizrahim. It's so pathetic, and we're the only ones raising our voices about this. The only ones that are raising our voices against this. It really shows why JTF, the true Kahanists of JTF, are so important in Israel. It really shows. I'm hoping that because we raise our voices, eventually others will also raise their voices. But unless somebody speaks out, there's nobody. If we weren't there, there'd be nobody to speak about this. Not one group, as far as I can see. I haven't seen anybody protest or raise their voices or say something, how crazy, how obscene this is. Nobody. Nobody. That's Israel. If only we had the resources to reach all the Jews of Israel with this message. And we could be educating the Jews about what really happened to the Mizrahim, about what really happened to Russian Jews when they went to Israel, how the Russian Jews, before they got to Israel, were betrayed by the Israeli government for decades. The Israeli government didn't want to save them. And how it was we in the Jewish Defense League, when I was running the Jewish Defense League and the Kahanists, we're the ones who freed the Soviet Jews. We're the ones that raised the issue. Nobody even spoke about them. No one ever spoke about them. They got no attention until we made it a world famous issue. And because of what I did on their behalf, I wound up going to prison for 5.5 years, and now I'm banned from going to Israel for 20 years already. They won't let me into Israel. If only we had the resources to bring these injustices and bring these facts to the people of Israel, we would change Jewish history. But even with the resources we have, we're going to reach as many people as we can, because we have to. We're obligated to. We're obligated to tell the truth. We're obligated to do the best we can with what we have, and we're going to do that. And when elections do come up for the Knesset, we're going to, of course, support. We're going to fight against Naftali Bennett and his party, and we're going to try to find a political party, that will stand for the truth, or at least enough of the truth that we could, in good conscience, support that party. I'm hoping that we'll be able to find that. We are looking at the party of Moshe Feiglin, which is called Zehut. We're looking at that as a possibility. We may support Moshe Feiglin and the Zehut party. We are in contact with him. Now, that's Israel, and that's what we're doing in Israel. Here in the United States, we told you so. How many times, how many videos did we do? And how many hundreds of times did we warn you with videos and posts over and over again that Donald Trump would be a catastrophe if he were the Republican, if he were the Republican candidate for president? We had, even on our forum, we had some not very bright people who were saying, no, he's better than Ted Cruz. He speaks better than Ted Cruz. He's more interesting than Ted Cruz. And I say not very bright. I don't mean to insult people, but they're so foolish. And because of their stupidity, America is going to be destroyed by Hillary Clinton's presidency. Donald Trump's presidency would be just as bad as Hillary Clinton's presidency. But Hillary Clinton, whom they claim to want to stop from becoming president, the reason she's going to get elected, and I do think she's going to win, the reason she's going to get elected is because they insisted upon supporting this orange Mussolini, this orange clown for president. Just look at what he did this past week. First of all, Hillary Clinton has a real problem. 60 to 70% of the American people in every poll say that she's a liar. 60 to 70% of the American people say in every poll they don't like her. 60 to 70% of the American people say in every poll that she's dishonest, that she's corrupt. The majority of the voters in poll after poll say that she's a fraud, dishonest, corrupt. They don't believe her. They don't like her. They don't want to vote for her. But Donald Trump is so bad and so pathetic and so crazy and frightens people so much that because her opponent is Donald Trump, she's now leading in the polls, in all the polls she's leading, because her opponent is Donald Trump. If Ted Cruz were her opponent, you know, with Ted Cruz, yes, the media would have gone after Ted Cruz as well, and they would have said he's too far to the right, just like they said about Ronald Reagan. But, you know, you can overcome that. Ronald Reagan overcame it. Ted Cruz could overcome it. Ted Cruz is a very disciplined candidate. You saw what good you've seen at the convention. You saw what a great speech he gave, even though at the end they booed him because he didn't want to support the orange Mussolini. But the guy gives great speeches. He's a great debater. He's very disciplined. He stays on message. The worst they could have said about him is his Senate colleagues don't like him and he's too conservative, he's too far to the right. That's what they would have said about him. That's the same thing basically that the Jimmy Carter people said about Ronald Reagan. Because of Clinton's tremendous unpopularity and all the email scandals and all the, it's so obvious, the corruption, all the terrible aspects of what she's been doing, she is vulnerable, she could be beaten. But look at Donald Trump. Every single week, it's controversy after controversy after controversy. Just controversy. Just look at this past week. Completely unnecessary controversies. This was a week when Hillary Clinton, her emails were revealed. More emails came out that revealed that there's no question that she was using the Clinton Foundation for corrupt purposes. There's no question that people were giving payoffs there in order to get influence and jobs and access to her while she was Secretary of State at the State Department. There's no question about that. That's the very definition of corruption. It stinks to the high heavens. And that should have been the issue. And if Ted Cruz had been Hillary's opponent, that would have been the issue this week. And Ted Cruz would never have let Hillary get away with it every day. That's all if one thing about Ted Cruz, he's very disciplined. He would have stayed on that, focused on that over and over and over. Whether the media likes it or not, they would have had to cover it. Because he would have continued to focus on it like a laser. And the media would have had to cover it. But Donald Trump allowed the media to do what they wanted to do, to escape covering it and bury the story, because Trump created controversies that were so crazy that people were paying more attention to the circus of the Trump campaign, to the Trump campaign circus, than to the Hillary scandals. He has to say, you know, he had to say, well, you Second Amendment people, which means gun owners, you can stop Hillary. He said, if Hillary gets elected, there's nothing we can do about Supreme Court justices, he said. In other words, once she's elected and she's already appointing Supreme Court justices, he said, but then, you Second Amendment people, in other words, you gun owners, you can still stop it. It's so obvious he was talking about using your guns to stop it. It's so obvious he was talking about violence and even assassination. Obviously he was. Obviously he was. And of course, he then says, no, I was being sarcastic, or I was joking, or I didn't mean that, or I meant that the Second Amendment people should organize politically. Please! Give me a break. He wasn't talking about organizing. He was saying after Clinton already won. And politically there's nothing you can do and she's already in office. And she's already appointing justices. At that point, he said, there's nothing you can do anymore. And then he said, well, maybe you Second Amendment people can do something about it at that point. I mean, that's, in other words, he's saying basically that somebody can use their guns to do something about it. Now, I don't give a damn about him talking about violence against Hillary Clinton, because I hate Hillary Clinton. I hate him, I hate her, I hate her husband. I don't give a damn what he wants, if he wants to make remarks like that. I don't give a damn about it. I wouldn't say it. I'm a law-abiding citizen. I would never say it. But I don't give a damn that he says it. That's not the point. The point is, it's dumb! It's dumb! Because you know the media is going to grab that and accuse you of inciting violence and assassination. It's dumb! And Ted Cruz would never have said something like that, and you know it. And then, that wasn't enough. Then he spent 3 or 4 days saying dozens of times over and over again, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton created ISIS. They were the founders of ISIS. That's dumb. It is dumb to say that. He didn't explain it well. You know, even if you want to say something, even if it's true, you got to explain it well. Otherwise, the media will demagogically take it and distort it. If we had a candidate who finally said Barack Hussein Obama's a Muslim, many Americans believe he's a Muslim because he obviously is. There you can make an intelligent case that you believe that that he really is secretly a Muslim. Of course he is. And it's not that secret even. I mean, it's so obvious. But instead, he said Obama and Clinton created ISIS. He kept saying that over and over again. Created ISIS. The founder of ISIS is Obama, and the co-founder is Hillary Clinton. That is just dumb. And when he was told to say, you know, when you at the conservative, the so-called conservative, he's a phony too, but anyway, when you at the phony so-called conservative radio talk show host was trying to get him out of this mess, and said in an interview, we had Donald Trump on a show and was interviewing him and said, you mean that they created a vacuum in Iraq and that's what led to the growth of ISIS? That's what you mean. I know that's what you mean, Yu had said. He said, no, I mean he was the founder of ISIS. And Yu had said, but he hates ISIS. He's killing them, which is baloney. He doesn't hate them. But anyway, but Yu had said, he hates ISIS. He's killing them. And Trump said, no, I don't care, he's the founder of ISIS. The way he phrases this, the way he makes his arguments, is so pathetic and so dumb. Newt Gingrich, who was one of Trump's biggest and most zealous supporters, said, you shouldn't have put it that way. You don't say he created ISIS and then just leave it like that. You explain what you're talking about. Newt Gingrich said this. Newt Gingrich said he should explain. It shouldn't be in 3 words, it should be in 10 words. He should say he created a vacuum in Iraq that led to the creation of ISIS. That he would have said, there would have been no controversy, and there's no question that there's truth in that statement. Instead, he just said 3 words. Obama created ISIS. Obama's the founder of ISIS. I mean, of course, if you're going to make a statement and not explain yourself, the media is going to tear you apart. This guy is a clown. He's a clown. Just like his statement with the Mexican judge. The judge who's sitting on the Trump University fraud case. He said, he can't judge me fairly because he's a Mexican. He's from Mexican background. A Mexican judge is not going to give me a fair trial. Even if that's true. I think there may be some validity to that. But even if that's true, you don't say that in the middle of a campaign. You don't phrase it like that. It's stupid. It's dumb. And, you know, of course you know there are a million other examples. There's so many other examples of this. It's every speech he has example after example of the insanity of what he says. We could have been in the lead now against Hillary Clinton. She would have been, her and her husband would have been in a panic, and the media would have been in a panic, and it would have been a replay of the Reagan-Carter campaign in 1980, and they would have been saying, you're extreme right and you're too dangerous because you're on the extreme right, like they said with Reagan. That would have been the only thing they had, the only card they would have to play against Ted Cruz. That would have been the race that we could have had. Wouldn't that have been, come on now, won't you admit now that that would have been better? Will you admit now that you were wrong and that that would have been better? And so we're in a situation now where if America goes down and this is the end of America because of this, it's thanks to the people that nominated Donald Trump, because the people nominated Donald Trump gave us Hillary Clinton's presidency. Because Donald Trump is the one who's electing Hillary Clinton. She is so lucky. She is so lucky to have him as her opponent. I mean, she should be counting her blessings, this beast. Of course, she's evil. Any power that she attains in this world, she's going to be severely punished in the next world because she's a beast. She's a Jew-hating beast who goes against God's people in Israel, her and her husband, and they're going to be severely punished. But they're going to have they're attaining the success and power, the temporary success and power of the presidency in this world, because her opponent is Donald Trump, because of the evil behavior of people who insisted upon supporting a phony, loud-mouthed, cowardly, orange clown who never stood for anything, who never had any principles, who is the lowest scum of the earth. They decided to make him the Republican candidate for president when we had such a wonderful, principled, noble candidate like Ted Cruz. What a great campaign that would have been. Oh, we all would have been in it together. It would have been wonderful. That would have been a great campaign. I hope and pray, God willing, we'll have a chance to do that 4 years from now, if America's still around. I hope we can survive 4 years of Hillary Clinton's presidency. And I don't know if we'd survive 4 years of Donald Trump's presidency. Remember, this is the guy who says things that if you ignore them, you're crazy. Donald Trump is insane. His behavior's insane. His behavior is insane. He talks about using nuclear weapons. He talks about giving nuclear weapons to all these countries that don't have them now. The things he's saying are so dangerous and so insane. If you have an ounce of sanity, you can't possibly support a nut job like this for president. You can't give a nut job like this the power of the presidency of the United States, an office like that, he has the power to annihilate the whole human race with the nuclear arsenal the United States has. You're going to hand over that power to this mental case? I mean, he is a mental case. There's something wrong with him. And I really believe that. Weren't we right? Remember what we said in the beginning? Since last summer, remember what we said in the beginning? Trump will probably win the Republican nomination. We said Cruz has an uphill battle. We're going to try our best, but the odds are against him. Trump will probably win the Republican nomination and then lose in November, lose in the general election to Hillary. Weren't we right? Weren't we right? You'll see. You'll see. We got until November. Now, is it possible that some surprise could happen and Trump could still wind up winning? Some surprise in the three debates that are scheduled, or some surprise in terms of the email scandals or other... Completely unexpected event could occur. Is that possible? It is possible. It is possible that something like that can happen between now and November. So Trump still has a slim chance of winning because of that, if something unexpected happens. But he's still a weak and terrible candidate, and his behavior proves that he's unfit to be president of the United States, completely unfit to be president, just as she, Hillary Clinton, is unfit to be president. Isn't it about time that our message be heard by more people, by millions and millions of people? Millions of people in the United States and millions of people in Israel. Isn't it about time we had that? There are four things we ask you to do to help us make that a reality. Or to at least help us reach as many people as we can, because that's what we're obligated to do. Number one, we need your prayers. Please pray for the success of what JTF is trying to do in Israel and in the United States. Number two, please promote our Hebrew and English videos. When you see us put up Hebrew and or English videos, please promote them on Facebook, on YouTube, on Twitter, wherever you can. Number three, please become active on our main pages so that you increase our strength on the search engines. JTF.org is our great English main page with the great Shlomo, who does 6, 7, 8 new articles and new videos every single day. Every day updated. It's the best website on the internet. Please become active on the English main page, and if you speak Hebrew, on the Hebrew main page, hayamin.org, hayamin.org, hayamin.org. And fourth, last but not least, we need your financial support, because that's really our downfall. If only we had the budget that we need to reach large numbers of people. The more we get, the more people we can reach, and the more good that we can do. More people we can help in Israel, and the more good that we can do. Checks, money orders, cash donations sent to the post office box do make a difference. Every check, every money order, every cash donation sent to our post office box, it makes a difference. Or if you prefer, for convenience sake, with your credit card to donate online, all you have to do is go to our Hebrew main page, hayamin.org, our Hebrew main page, and on top there's a donate button in English. It's the only thing in English on the Hebrew main page. It says donate. You click on the donate button on the Hebrew main page, and you can very conveniently donate with your credit card in a couple of minutes. We need your help. Let's fight together. Let's work to make a difference. Because the only thing that can turn the tide here is if we expose the truth to enough people. We need your help to do that. If we fight together as a team, we can still work to make this a better world. Until next week for JTF, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.